Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Have you ever been at a restaurant out for dinner? Have you ever been to a party? Have you ever been even to your life group or church event? There may have not been enough food. Have you ever seen when someone actually brings out that last remaining portion of food out to everyone? And they ask an important question. They say, would anyone like this last piece of cake or the last piece of pizza or the last Greek donut from your favorite Greek restaurant? Hey. And in that moment, you're actually forced to make a very important decision. Like there's like a million thoughts running through your mind. Like, should I eat this? Do I really need this? What will people think if I go for it? Am I being too greedy? I'm on a diet. I don't really need this, do I? But often we're forced to make a quick decision. And in the best part in those moments is that everyone else around you is actually making the same decisions in their head. Have you noticed that people aren't making eye contact? It's almost like a game of poker. who's going to show their hand first? And so after some time, there's always someone who musters up the courage and they put up their hands and say, oh, I'll have it if no one else wants it, right? But in that moment, there's always one other person. There's one other person who always says, oh, I'll have it too. And that is the worst moment when there is not enough. You really encounter an issue of supply and demand. Supply and demand. And now we're going to go into the Word of God and we're going to look at a story in the Bible of a mum and her family who actually encounter an issue with supply and demand in their own lives. And we see how God comes through for them in such a powerful way. Are we ready to get into the Word?
Yes.
Yeah? So let's close our eyes and let's pray. Holy Spirit, we welcome your presence here. Lord, we thank you that you are in our midst. Lord, we want to encounter you afresh today. Lord, make us more aware of you. Lord, as we get into your word, Lord, I just pray that every heart here, that we all will know you more. Lord, the perspectives within us will about you will change and shift, God. Help us to truly see you as you rightly are, God. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you move today. Lord, come fill this place with your presence. Come fill this place with your power. Come do all that you want to do. We give you space. We give you time. Come have your way. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. 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 So let's get into the Word of God this morning. Let's all turn to 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. If you got it, tell me you got it. How about this side over here? You got it? Got it? Cool. So let's read together. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves. Elisha replied to her, how can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? Your servant has nothing there at all, she said, except a small jar of olive oil. And Elisha said, go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't just ask for a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side. She left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another. But he replied, there is not a jar left. Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and then told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left. Now here we get introduced to a very tragic circumstance. We get introduced to this woman who has just lost her husband. We read that her husband was a man who feared the Lord. We see that this man was actually a minister of God. He was part of a company of prophets. And in this moment, he had died. And we also see that this is not just the only tragic circumstance in this story. We see that a creditor is actually coming to take away this woman's sons. Put yourself in this woman's position. Imagine you had just lost your husband. You're facing life alone as a widow. You are mourning, you are grieving. And to make things worse, someone is coming to collect a debt from you. Now, we don't know why or how big this debt is, but it is significant. If someone is coming to take away your only two sons to not just work for them, but to work for them as slaves. This woman was facing life alone without a husband and now potentially without her two sons. Imagine how she would feel in this moment. And she too, in this moment, is encountering a very real issue of supply and demand. Someone is coming to make a demand on the debt that is owed by her family. And she is encountering a supply issue. She does not have enough to pay the debts. We just read that all she has in her house is just a jar of olive oil. There are no other possessions that she has. She doesn't have a TV. She doesn't have an iPad or an iPhone that she can sell. She doesn't have a spare car to get rid of. This family is so poor that they only have a jar of olive oil. How sad is that? But we see that she did one very important thing. In the midst of her pain, in the midst of her grief, she did one very important thing. And we read in verse 1, we read that she cried out to Elisha. Now, you may be wondering, who is Elisha? That's a really good question. Now, Elisha was a prophet of Israel. And a prophet was a messenger of God, a spokesperson for God, that God chose and appointed and anointed to be his representative, to be his ambassador here on earth. And we see that this woman goes to him. She goes and cries out to him. And when you go to a prophet back then, it's almost like you were going directly to God. Because he was there, the prophet was the representative. He was the ambassador of God. And so we see that this woman cried out, not just to Elisha, but she was crying out to God. She was crying out for God and the prophet Elijah to actually do something. Now, imagine someone came to you in her circumstance. How would you feel? Imagine you were Elisha. Someone's coming up to you with a demand. And let's go back into the scriptures and see how he responds. Let's go to verse 2. So Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you?" Here we see a prophet, a man of God, who was willing to help in her time of need. And it's amazing because Elisha was a prophet of God who in a few chapters prior, was with kings. He was with the kings of Israel, kings of Judah. And he was a man who was there to represent God to the kings. And here we see the prophet Elisha being with a widow. He was humble enough to receive her. He was humble enough to hear her cry and her request. And we see that she was putting a demand on Elisha. She was putting a demand on the prophet, but she was also putting a demand on God himself. And so the first thing we learn in this story is that the midst of our grief, in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our dark and dire circumstances, the first thing that we should do in the midst of all of that is to go to God. We need to put a demand on God to do something. This is what the woman does. And so let's continue reading verse 2. Elisha says, "Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a small jar of olive oil." Verse 3. And Elisha said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons, and pour oil into all the jars. And as each is filled, put it to one side." Now here's this woman in her distress, in her grief, in her desperation. She's coming to the man of God. She's coming to God and putting a demand on him. Now, if I were in her shoes, I would be expecting the man of God, for God to provide for me instantaneously and miraculously. I would be expecting God or the man of God to take out some $50 bills from his pocket and to be willing to help me pay off my debt, to do something, right? Or I would be expecting God to maybe give me a lottery ticket to win $1 million or someone to transfer me $1 million into my bank account just so I can pay off my debts. But that is not what God does. What does he do? He actually puts a demand back on the woman. And so we learn that when we go to God and put a demand on him, you may expect a demand back on you. But that's not how it's meant to work, God. You're meant to do everything for me right now. And so let's actually take a look and see exactly what she's asked to do. So firstly, we see that she's meant to go around and go and ask all her neighbors for empty vessels. Now, imagine you were in her shoes. Imagine you had to knock on every door in your street to ask for empty vessels. How would you feel doing that? Like, no one knocks on their neighbor's houses anymore, do they? Not these days, anyway. Imagine you had to ask someone for some containers. And if they ask you back, why do you need it? What would you say? I don't know. I've just been told to do it. I don't know what I'm doing, but I just need to get some more jars. And we see that she's then meant to take the jars and go inside and shut the door. And so we can see that God was wanting her to actually do something in public, but also do something in private. And both things were steps and acts of faith and obedience to the word of God, to the instruction and to the direction of God. And she was being obedient. And then the instruction continues. It says, pour oil into the jars. As each is filled, put it to one side. Now, this is where things get really interesting. We just read that she only had a little jar of oil, of olive oil. And now she's being asked to do something kind of silly. She's being asked to pour the oil out into each of those containers. Now, what would go through your head if you were that woman? I've only got this little bottle of oil. How is this going to fill all the jars that I have collected? There's something about God where he comes and asks us to do things that are so contradictory to our natural circumstances. We see that she was, she had a demand put on her to collect the jars, to take them home, and now to fill those jars with the oil that she had. This is an act of faith that God is asking her to do. In the natural, in the physical, this is actually really stupid. Like, it does not make sense that she has to do this. This is not how it's meant to work. And then we see something really amazing. Let's all turn to verse 5. So she left him, talking about Elisha, and she shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another." But he replied, "There is not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. Here we see one of the great miracles of the Bible. Something that is so unnatural, it's actually supernatural. God was providing for her supernaturally in a way that she or even us today would not expect. As she kept pouring, the oil continued to pour out. It's almost like, if you picture this, as she was pouring out the oil, in heaven, God was pouring out his oil to flow through. And in this moment, God was showing her, and he's showing us today that he has more than enough resources to supply all our needs. He even has olive oil. He has an unlimited amount of olive oil. Who would think that God has a deli in heaven full of olive oil? I'm hoping there's prosciutto. I'm hoping there's some olives. Like, God has olive oil. He had everything that she needed. Can you see how amazing God is? This woman was stepping out in faith to do something that was impossible, that she should not be able to do. And she sees the miraculous provision and hand of God to continue to pour when all she had in herself was something small. And so the question we need to ask ourselves today is, what do you have? What do you have in yourself? What do you have in yourself that you can give to God? What do you think you have? Do you feel like you don't have enough? Do you feel like you don't have enough to offer God? Here we see that God does not need a lot. He didn't need a big jug of olive oil. He didn't need a big container full of olive oil. He just needed a little. And I really feel like there's some of us here who feel very inadequate with what you have. God has given you His word. He's given you His promise. He has given you His instruction. And often we can focus on the inadequacies that we have. The little jar of oil that we have. But we see that God can do so much with just a little. And we see that He can do a lot with a little because of faith. Because of faith. And in this story, we see that it is faith that moves God to act. It is faith that moves God to act. This woman put a demand on God. She moved in faith to every instruction and request of God that was put back to her. And as she did that, God came through. And so what we see is that we need to be like this woman. We need to respond to God in the same way. We need to respond in faith to Him. It is faith which pleases God. It's faith which moves mountains. But it can also move a jar of olive oil. And so the question we need to ask ourselves is, what am I going to do with the little that I have? What are you going to do? What are the graces and giftings that God has given you? What are the opportunities, the job, your family? What is it that God has given you that you need to give to God so that He can use? And we see that the oil only stopped flowing when the jars stopped turning up. God had an unlimited supply that was available. God has more than enough for you. He has more than enough for all of us. And we see that we need to continue to bring what we have to Him so that He can flow, that He can pour Himself out upon it. So we also see that she has a lot of jars now filled with oil. So the question we have to ask is, has the miracle come? What do you think? Has the miracle come? Yes? Yeah. Well, almost. Almost. There was another demand placed on the woman. Now, she had all the supply she needed. She had all the oil that she needed. But she still had all her debts. The creditor was still going to come. He did not need olive oil. The oil wasn't going to pay the debts as they were. Let's go to verse 7 and see the next demand that was put onto her. We read that she went and told the man of God, Elisha, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left." And we see that another demand was placed on her to actually sell the oil. This woman in this moment was actually going to become a small business owner. She had a small business of olive oil. Now, I'm not sure if there were many farmers markets back then as we have today, but can you see how God actually made her do something actually uncomfortable? She actually had to now sell all the oil that she had. And we see that God will often ask us to do things, maybe a couple of things that are not natural to us. Her and her sons were now forced to sell this olive oil. But we see that in the selling of the olive oil, this was where the miracle was actually being completed. Because it was with those funds which she could pay off the debt. And so what do we learn about God here? We learn that the miraculous power of God, we learn that the miraculous supply for God is always for purpose. The miracle was in her pouring things out. There was an unlimited flow of olive oil, but that was not the end of the miracle. The miracle ended when everything was sold and the debts were paid. And we see that God will often ask us to do things that with the miraculous provision that He provides. And so again, we have to ask ourselves the question, what has God provided you? What are you doing with God, what God has provided? And the final thing we see is that we know that God supplies and He has an unlimited supply. But He was so kind to this woman, to this widow and family, that He didn't just provide enough to pay her debts. He actually supplied more than she actually needed or was asking for. Can you see that? God was doing more than she asked for. And it was enough not just to pay the debts, but for her and her sons to live on. How good is God? Can you see how we have limitations on God? Could you imagine the widow did not go to the man of God for help? What would have happened? The debt would have stayed and her sons would have been taken away into slavery. But she responded in faith. She took a step of faith and she went to God and she put a demand on Him. But then we see God put a demand back on her. And we see that God supplied not just for her needs, but more than enough to overflow so she and her sons could live. And we limit God on what He can do. Often we do not go to God when we really should be. This woman didn't have to go to God. But I'm sure she's glad that she did. And how often do we not go to God when we really need Him? We can often tell ourselves, oh, God will not provide for me in this way. As if God will pay my debts because of, say, my lack of financial management. As if God will provide so I can save my sons. As if God will do anything for me, I'm just a widow. We can all put limitations on God, but we see in this story, and this story is here to encourage us today to go to God. We see that God did not act until she did. And now we know that God is sovereign and God can do what he wants, but there's an aspect of God who longs to be chased, who longs to be pursued. He can handle our demands. And so the question we have to ask today is, what am I not going to God? What are the things in my life that I'm not trusting God with? Do I not trust him that he will actually listen to me and hear my cry? Do I not trust him that he will actually provide for what I need? And today, I feel like there's such an opportunity, an invitation from God to come to him again. To come to him again.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.